you made it back out this afternoon. This is the time for our sermon in Scripture and song, the title of which today is The Light of the World. One of our songs, a different song than the one that would be indicated by that, indicates that for much of the world around us, we are figuratively a lot of times the only Bible that they really see very much of. And I think we understand that to be true. If they have copies of the Bible so many times, the Bible tends to be a household ornament or a family heirloom, something of that nature, where it really just collects dust. And if it is read, it's only read haphazardly and without a lot of real intent in study. The only concept of what the New Testament presents as Christianity or discipleship that many obtain is going to come from observing professing Christians as they live their lives, for better or worse. Sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes, quite frankly, it isn't such a good thing. So what if our representation of the faith that we talk about is carelessly smeared or thoughtlessly warped, as that song suggests? Well, if that's the case, then the impression that people gain about our faith is just as damaged as our example is. It has, indeed, that much power sometimes. And the thing is, the likelihood that they're going to want to adopt a pure form of Christianity is greatly diminished, because what they've seen, what to them is Christianity, is so far removed from what it really should be. And that is something that we become accountable for. Our responsibility is right there to imitate Christ. I know those words are words we say a lot, but they can become very trite words, words that don't really mean anything. They mean just wearing His name. Imitating Christ means following His example, presenting a reliable example of what Christianity really is in the presence of the people who do observe us. Times when maybe we're not realizing that they're watching us. Times in which our faith is really being tested by people who want to see just how real it is. So our example needs to be a reliable one in the presence of other people as they watch us, simply as an effort to discharge our duty before them. So we're going to begin our sermon description song this afternoon. Charlie Talley is going to step in and read for us from Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6. Our first song leader is going to be Jeff Gary. And our subject as we begin is thinking about the influence of Christ. We'll start with Charlie.
In that passage is Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord.
Let us all join the singing of number 431. Number 431, none of self and all of thee. Four, three, one.
Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee.
Song is number 455, Take My Hand and Lead Me. Number 455.
I want to live, dear Lord, for Thee.
Number 458, In the Garden. 458.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses and He walks with me and He talks with me and tells me joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet the birds hush their singing and the melody that He gave to me in my heart is ringing. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
In the second part of our sermon inscription song, talking about us being the light of the world, we'll meditate upon our influence. Walker's going to read for us from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And then Ian Tilley is going to lead us in three songs on our influence.
Let's all sing number 453, number 453, Ye Are the Light of the World.
O Christian, do not hide your light, for ye are the light of the world. But keep it trimmed and burning bright, for ye are the light of the world.
excuse me, across the page, number 454, number 454, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion is purity. May His Spirit divine, O my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how He was begun. Be seen in you. From the dawn of the morning to close of day, in example, in deeds, and in all you say, lay your gift at His feet.
Next is 416, we're 460, the World's Bible.
Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongue.
see Robert this evening unless I'm missing him. Kyle, you going to volunteer? All right. Kyle's going to lead us in our middle prayer.
Thank you. Will you bow with me once we go to the Lord humbly in prayer? Our holy, righteous, reverend Father, we come before your throne of mercy, Lord, coming before your feet as humble servants, thanking you, Lord, for being such a good and gracious God, Lord. We think of and reflect upon all the things that you have surrounded us with in this planet. We think about your creation, Lord. We think about the songs we have sang and worship and praise to you, Lord. And we pray that they go up in a sweet-smelling savor that appear before you, Lord. We pray that our hearts and our minds are attuned to your will, Lord, especially at this time as we come to try to worship you in a manner that is pleasing. We have done so in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for this avenue of prayer that we get to have through your Son, Jesus the Christ, the perfect propitiation for our sins, Lord. We're so thankful that through your love you demonstrated to us sending him. You knew from the very beginning when this world was created and brought into being, Lord, you knew the plan and it acted out perfectly to your will, Lord. And as we are able to read and to understand and look back at history and know how things came into being, Lord, we're so thankful because from the beginning you knew that your only begotten child, your only son, Lord, you were going to send to this earth as a servant. He was in a perfect place of heaven, no pain, no suffering, to be with you in all eternity, Lord, and in glory as God with you, Lord. You sent him to this earth and he was humbled as a servant, born as a carpenter's son, that he was working through his entire life to show us how we are to work. And he taught us the ways of righteousness, Lord. And for it, the humans here, the created beings, decided to pierce him through and place him on a tree to die. Because of that love, Lord, we have that sacrifice for our sins to what we have the ability to escape an eternity in hell, Lord. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful for your love and your consistency, Lord. We know that we read through your scriptures that you don't change, Lord. We know that you're always there for us. You always love us, no matter what ugly deeds that we may have in our lives. Maybe some things that we're struggling with right now, Lord. We may be thinking upon the sins recently done or possibly sins we're pondering in our heart, Lord. We pray that we would know that you are there to love us and to forgive us no matter what situation that we're in, Lord. We pray at this time and at the place we're at that we would take care of those things and we repent of them. Because of your love, we know that we can be your servant and that all things will be forgiven and will be seen as pure and clean in your sight, Lord. We thank you so much for that. Lord, we pray that we would live in a prayerful manner and a meditative manner throughout our lives and remember that we were bought with a price, this price, as we leave this building this evening, as we go into the mission field after we leave here and we interact with those co-workers and people that we see on a day-to-day basis, Lord, that hopefully our lights will shine just as the song we sang, that they will see the Scripture lived out in our lives, Lord, and they'll know that we are Christians. And they will know what life that needs to be lived to have that hope of salvation, Lord. As we pray, we continue this service, Lord, that we continue our minds in the proper place, and that we bring glory, nothing but glory to you at this time and through the rest of our lives. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
As we think about our role as being the light of the world, we've talked about the influence of Christ upon us and then the influence that we tend to have upon the people around us as well. And part three of our sermon inscription song is about our duty to one another. We'll start Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 17. Doug Rowan will read that for us in a moment. And then Rick Hightower is going to lead us in three songs that help us contemplate that subject.
Romans 1, verses 8 through 17. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Make him request that by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now. Now I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Turn with me to number 598. 598. You never mentioned him to me.
Soul may be.
will be number 92. Number 92. Others. Number 92.
No song. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a
song will be number 430. Number 430. Take the name of Jesus with you.
No, so me do so. Take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Psalm book, song number 343 will be our invitation song in a few moments. Let him have his way with thee. That wasn't looking at it. That is correct. Song 343 will be our invitation song in just a couple of moments. We're going to read, though, once you put your psalm books away, from the book of 3 John. And we'll start reading in verse 5 there in just a moment. So the letter of 3 John, I guess I should say, after this morning. And we're going to read beginning in verse 5. 3 John, let's start reading in verse 5 and read down to verse 12. John writes, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil is not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true." The by now aged Apostle John creates a contrast, a very clear contrast in the church where this letter was received. Diotrephes was nominally a Christian, but anyone looking to him for evidence of the faith about Christ would be very disappointed or very deluded, one or the other. Despite all the power he had amassed in that local congregation, he was a man that was driven by pride and paranoia more than piety. Demetrius, on the other hand, as the other side of this contrast, followed in the footsteps of his master in a way that would be pleasing to him. He earned a very good reputation among his brethren for a faithful rendering of the principles that Jesus lived and exemplified and taught. And those examples, those convictions that form the basis of the New Testament lifestyle, if we could call it that. You see, as we've sung and studied this evening, our imitation of Christ can be flawed by sin. And inevitably, that's going to happen to us. We're not going to perfectly replicate the example of Christ. But even those mistakes that we make give us the opportunity to correct publicly the brushstrokes that have been made in error, to erase and obliterate as best we can the mistakes that we've made in this life. It gives us the opportunity to add humility and repentance to the example that we set before others. If instead of that, though, we consistently demonstrate behavior and language and morality that is in obvious conflict with what we state to be our faith, with what people can read in the New Testament to be our faith, then our reputation and our influence become unreliable and hypocritical. They can't look to us for an example of what it means to live by faith. I want you to think this evening and contemplate, as we're about to sing this invitation song, contemplate the example that you set in the presence of others. Think about, if you're a parent, the example that you set in the presence of your children, the most important examples that they get of what faith is supposed to be, they get from you, good or bad. That's probably true. Think about the example that you might be setting before an unbelieving spouse or an unbelieving parent or maybe even an unbelieving child or a child who's not yet reached that point where he can make such decisions. Think about the example that you are setting, the pattern that you are forming in front of your circle of friends and acquaintances, the people that maybe don't even know your name. They may know your first name and know that you're a Christian, and it's all that they know. Think about the example that you're setting in the presence of them as well. Think about the example that you're setting everywhere that you live your life, and everywhere that you make your mark on this earth. It's not perfect, is it? Neither is mine. The question really is not that, because that's a question that is obviously answered. The question is this: is it a positive example? When it's all brought together and everything is understood and the mistakes have been either made right or left standing, is it a positive example? Or is it one that is detracting from what we ought to be about and spreading the borders of the kingdom? That's the invitation to you this afternoon. If you need to obey the gospel, the invitation likewise is yours. But to those disciples of Christ, are you really a light of the world? And if not, what can we do about it today? Would you come if you need to as we stand and sing this invitation song?
Walk with Him within the narrow road. Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you. T'was best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way. Your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him through each providential test? Labor always at your best. Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way.